Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Always good to be joined by my friend, Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. One of the things I wanted to hit on, you know, we talked right after the debate the other night, you and I and Ryan and JP, the guys on Crosstalk on the CGM radio podcast.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun doing that show.
That's a blast. The debate, this recent debate, the second one, I really appreciated it so much more than the first one. The first one, to me, was a fiasco. I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know what he was trying to do. I didn't like the first debate. But this second one, or third one, or whichever one they want to call it, I thought it was much more clear-cut, the differences between the two. And I think the president made some great points. He made his points clear. What I want to reflect on now, a few days later, are some of the statements that Joe Biden made. Outrageous statements. And so we'll just take a few. Can I take a few of these and we'll address them? And,
by all means. So it's always fun.
Let's go down the list. Okay, the first one was, you know, Trump said, you called me a xenophobe when I closed down travel from China. And Trump said, I never said that.
Biden said, I never said that, yeah.
Yeah, I use that word in connection with other issues.
What a crock of bull that was.
This is what Joe said on January 30th. We are in the midst of a crisis with coronavirus. We need to lead the way with science, not Donald Trump's record of hysteria, xenophobia, and fear-mongering. Those are the words of Joe Biden. And yet somehow, by the time the debate rolled on, he didn't remember saying that.
Yeah, you know, I think he was talking about next year's Academy Awards, Jim, and just warning us
perhaps
that maybe Trump wouldn't tune them in. I'm sure he didn't mean what we obviously know he meant. Yeah.
Yeah, but it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Okay, next exaggeration. He denied saying that he would ban fracking, which both he and his running mate have blatantly said. In the Democrat debate, remember when there was a whole bunch of them fighting for the ticket?
Oh, yeah.
Biden was asked, is there any place for fossil fuels and fracking in a Biden administration? No, he said definitively. No. We would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated and no more subsidies for either one of those. That's what he said in the Democrat debate. But now he says, no, I never said I'd shut down fracking or ban fracking.
He's more brazen than that. And he says, go ahead and show the video. He knows darn well what he said on video, but he also knows that a lot of the people watching that debate, if they're watching on MSNBC or CNN, he knows that they're getting a lot of disinformation, and he knows that in the moment they might just like the way he shouted, show the video, and then never even take the time to watch it. He thinks people are just that stupid, and unfortunately with a lot of them, he's right.
There's a lot of them. Actually, what he really says a lot is, come on, man.
We talked about this on Crosstalk. Somebody must have taken him aside and said, you can keep saying come on, but leave off the man because you're being sexist. Something, because so this time it was just, come on, come on, come on, but we didn't hear the man.
But this is he's kind of fitting into the stereotypical type of character.
Let's be fair, Jim. When he lied about fracking back in that debate in 2016, or I guess he was telling the truth about fracking, that he probably had somebody explain to him before he went on what fracking was, and he'd never heard of it before. So he was dealing with new material in his mind.
It may be. And you know, people joke, and I've been guilty perhaps of this, saying, you know, maybe he's senile, maybe he's got mental issues. I just think he's just a real good deceiver. That's what I think.
But, yeah, and he thinks that if he's especially loud, he'll always say things like, let me say this again. Or I'm sitting there going, oh, wait a minute. He said it again. If he said it twice, it must be true. That's his modus operandi.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, he keeps saying these things. He keeps getting caught. And boy, immediately people are putting stuff online. So the information is out there. if anyone really wants to do their homework and find out.
Except that Twitter might remove it or YouTube might remove it. It's just amazing what is stacked against Donald Trump.
Yeah, and that's, we're up against that. The very first question that the moderator, the independent, impartial moderator, fires at Trump, and it's basically, you've killed thousands of people with coronavirus.
Oh, I know.
And he's responding to it about how he's handled it. And he said, one of the things he said was that young people and children are not as susceptible. And she felt it necessary to correct him and say, children can get it. And, well, now what the heck?
Well, there's always an exception to the rule.
Biden and the moderator? Like he said, to debate two people.
We've never had any disease that somebody of some age hasn't gotten. He was talking in general.
Yeah. But so we had all this kind of stuff. Okay, here's another one. This is Biden talking about Trump. His own former spokesperson said, you know, riots, chaos, violence help us, and violence helps his cause. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, talk about pulling something out of context. The context being
who are you quoting?
Yeah.
And Biden said, Kellyanne Conway, here's what she said. Here's the quote. The more chaos and anarchy and vandalism and violence reigns, the better it is for a very clear choice on who is the best public safety, who is the best on public safety and law and order. She didn't say it was good for us or that it, you know, she said it makes the choice very clear.
Yes, because everybody knows that it's the Democratic mayors and Democratic governors that are allowing those things to happen.
And I talked about this on Crosstalk the other night. You know, in the first debate, Biden said two things. One, he said, I am the Democratic Party. I am the voice of the Democratic Party, and the Democratic platform is what I believe. And then when the moderator, at that time it was Wallace, said, well, have you reached out to the mayor of Portland or the governor of Oregon? And he said, I don't hold office. It's not my responsibility.
He's responsible. He's responsible for the 8 years of so-called success under Obama, even though he was vice president, but now he doesn't hold off. What I love is when he says that Trump doesn't do anything. Trump, he says, you've done nothing for the last 4 years, nothing. Now, that would be laughable if it came from anybody about Donald Trump, who only sleeps 4 hours a night, and his achievements, despite everything being against him. But this came from Joe Biden, Joe Bunker Biden. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, speaking of his time as the vice president under President Obama, it just pains me to even say those two words together. But he says, we left him a booming economy and he caused the recession. What have you been reading or what have you been smoking?
When Trump talked about what he was going to do to bring back the numbers, Obama said he would need something like a magic wand to make those things happen, and every one of them happened.
Because the growth was below 2% in 2016 at the end of Obama's term. And actually, initially in the first year, Trump had it up over 4%. He must have had a magic wand, and he's had it up over 3 a couple of times, and it was doing great until the coronavirus, and he still, despite this pandemic, which, as he pointed out, is worldwide, everybody's dealing with it, and he still kept the economy stronger than I can imagine it would have been under Obama or Biden or anybody else. Just again, his recall is really faulty, or he just, you know, I think I just came up with a new name for him. I'm going to call him Smoking Joe, because I wonder what he's been smoking. So. Okay, here's another one. We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. Before what, Joe? Before what? This is crazy stuff. In 2019, the deficit with China fell by over $70 billion and continued to drop even this year, even in the 2020 fiscal trade year. I don't know. He just makes stuff up.
He really,
and I guess he figures people are just going to believe him because he's Uncle Joe.
If he says it loud enough and emphatic enough, and he knows that most people won't fact check it, and then if the people on Facebook fact check it, they'll fact check him being correct, even though there's nobody at Facebook checking the fact checkers for factual accuracy.
Exactly. It's kind of like that Snopes thing, you know? That's one of the most suspect fact-finding organizations. Really, what is it? It's a couple. They've, you know, working out of their house, it started, and they're just expressing their liberal opinion. And, if you know, the best they could say was, well, it's unproven.
Oh, yeah, like sometimes they'll actually verify it, but they'll say, well, yeah, technically this happened, but you got to consider this. But they know people will read it as being unverified. So even when they get it right, they try to make it look like the other side was correct.
Yeah, so just crazy stuff. You know what he said? He said he talked about the recession. Obama, during the recession, the recovery was the slowest since World War II. So that would be my lifetime. I was born after World War II. And his recovery from a recession was the slowest it had ever been in my lifetime or your lifetime. So I don't know what Joe is reading or recalling or just making stuff up, man.
I'm surprised he didn't say slowest from the Revolutionary War, since we know that he fought with George Washington and liberated our country from the English.
He might remember that.
Yeah.
You got to talk about his. Oh, thank you. I'll give you a little history lesson. Oh, that was Harris.
When she made that comment about Abraham Lincoln. Oh, my goodness.
He never said that. He never said that.
I know. They just make this stuff up.
The Senate was on recess at the time, and that's why they didn't vote on a justice. But that's okay. You know, you don't have to tell the truth. You just have to say things that are going to, you know, make people feel good about you and make them feel bad about Trump.
Yeah, everybody talks about whether Joe's losing his mind. He may be, he may not be. But my greater concern has been and continues to be that the guy's a pathological liar. And to be a good liar, you have to have something going on upstairs, because you have to kind of know the truth to lie your way around it.
Yeah, and I don't think he's senile. I think he's just very, very cunning.
Well, he's never been the sharpest tool in the shed, but the lying does concern me a lot more than anything else.
Yeah. You know, when Obama picked him for his running mate, I immediately said that was genius. That was life insurance, because no one is going to try to take out Obama.
I hadn't thought of that. That's true. I often wonder, because say what you want about Obama, and I couldn't stand him as a president, but he's no dummy. So why did he pick Joe Biden? I think he might have figured it out. Yeah, Joe Biden was an insurance policy. Who's going to assassinate me so that that guy can become president? Oh, boy.
I said that as soon as he named him. That was my conclusion. Okay, here's some more things, Joe. There is no evidence that when you raise the minimum wage, businesses go out of business. That is simply not true, he said. You know what? Here's what is true. Are you ready? This is going to be a long one, Bob.
Go ahead.
Forbes magazine, a pretty reputable publication when it comes to the economy. Forbes magazine published an article about a recent study by, check this out, the Congressional Budget Office. And I want to remind you that the Democrats are in control of the Congress. This is what Forbes magazine published about the article, the study by the Congressional Budget Office, entitled "The Effects on Unemployment and Family Income of Increasing the Federal Minimum Wage." Okay? That pretty well sums up what we're talking about. This is some of the findings. Earnings would increase for many, which would lift some families out of poverty. However, other low-wage workers would become jobless. Their family income would drop, and it would place them below the poverty threshold. So it washes. Seattle raised its minimum wage to $15 an hour a few years ago. Remember that? Resulting in workers given fewer hours, thus experiencing a net loss in pay. Local neighborhood stores and businesses will be forced to raise prices to make up for the addition of labor costs, which is the salaries, the insurance, all of those things would go up for the employers. With the increased prices, customers may elect to take their business elsewhere because they would have to raise their prices. This would result in losing customers, which means losing income, which would result in the business having to lay off workers or either pay people under the table, skirting the law, or deploy technology. Boom. What started happening? It happened in Seattle immediately. Fast food places started putting kiosks in instead of an employer who was behind the counter.
Oh, yeah. There was a place in California where they had a robot named Flippy the Hamburger Maker. He automatically flips the hamburger. And yeah. Flippy doesn't ask for more money, and Flippy doesn't threaten to quit, and Flippy doesn't threaten to sue you. That's what starts happening. Automation's coming anyway, but they're pushing it much quicker with this minimum wage thing.
Well, it's happening. Fast food chains, this is still continuing with this article, fast food chains and large department stores will follow suit and implement self-service checkout to save costs. You know what? I hate the self-service checkout line because half of the time I have to call somebody over to have them straighten out the computer because it makes an error. It's just a pain, but you don't get any customer service this way. And the companies have to do this to save money because they can't afford to pay all their employees. So they have fewer employees because they're paying them more, or they give the employees less hours and they start putting in the automated self-service checkout lines.
Well, speaking of automation, Jim, this is no automation, but we are automatically done with our show right now. Hey,
okay, well,
thanks for coming on. Okay, quickly.
Really quick. Okay, Amy Coney Barrett thinks the Affordable Care Act is not constitutional. That's a lie. She never said
that. Right.
And for the record, guess what, Joe? She's going to be confirmed tomorrow.
Okay, next time you're on our show, the election will be over, and we'll talk about how... Oh, no, we won't. This will go on for January or February, but it should be over. We'll talk about at least how election night
went. All right.
See you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.